Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Optics in Action. Today we have a guest. I love to spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. And today we have Brian Hale. He is an infrastructure technology leader, and I'm so excited to chat with him. I've had some previous conversations with him, known Brian for quite some time, and I'm super excited to have a conversation with him about what that means, how he does that, and what are some of the people challenges and process challenges that typically happen in his role. So, Brian, welcome to Optics in Action.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. This will be fun.
Awesome. So the first thing I always like to do is ask guests, why do you do what you do? Why infrastructure, technology, leadership? Like, why has this become a passion for you? Why did you get into it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I would say back when I was 15 or so, that's the furthest I can go back, right? So 15, I started playing around, goofing off with Windows 95, right? Cassettes or the little three and a half, you know, or the five and a quarter floppies, whatever, right?
Well, we're aging ourselves now, yeah. Brian. That's for sure.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. So I was helping out my parents, and my parents couldn't figure out how to do stuff, and I enjoyed helping people. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, right? And so I enjoyed helping people, and I loved the technology piece. We had a Tandy, right? So we were trying to figure out Mac, you know, or whatever. And just learning how to take apart computers, 15, 16 years old. And then when we moved to Chicago area back in 2000, it was just an eye-opening of just starting my career in IT back in 2000. And I enjoyed just the people part, but also the technology piece. I love the phones. Whenever it started, what, 2007, I think, a lot of the infrastructure, like hardware. So the first 10 years of my career, I did a lot of hardware. It was fun.
Yeah. Awesome. So when we think about technology infrastructure, that can mean a lot. That can mean different things to different people. Tell me a little bit more about what that looks like. I mean, you've worked with a variety of organizations and, developing, deploying, you know, monitoring, managing technology infrastructure. Tell us a little bit about what that means and what does that look like in 2024? There's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of stuff going on.
2024 is different than 2000, right? So I feel like a lot of the tools, a lot of the hardware, a lot of the technology and the applications have changed big time. The infrastructure stuff I did in the early 2000s is, you know, the rack and stack, or, you know, fixing the printers, fixing the laptops, tearing them apart, putting them together, Windows crashing, stuff like that. And now, like, that doesn't really happen as much. The technology's gotten better. Applications, operating systems got better. Now we're focused on the business, really. We're trying to figure out how the business needs help from technology, right? How can we help the business make money, really, is really what any IT department should be focused on. And infrastructure teams don't really focus on that as much, just because they're like in the basement sometimes and they're fixing whatever. And I like to be part of the business and be part of the team that works towards one goal of helping the business. So,
yeah. I love that. And I think you're right. I mean, technology is most effective when it enables people to do something more effectively, more efficiently, and supporting the businesses that you're a part of, and helping them to be more profitable, helping them to solve problems, helping them. I imagine with infrastructure these days, security, is that a hot topic for most organizations today?
Yeah, security is always number one. I feel like some of those projects, if they're security related, they're going to get done just because of that standpoint, right? So,
So yeah, you got to think about the ransomware attacks and some of these cyber there's just so many challenges around that these days that I think protecting the security of your organization, protecting the uptime of all the processes that you're running, whether it's internal or whether it's client focused, and then the profitability and helping enable the speed and the profitability that an organization needs. So how do you juggle all that? How do you prioritize that? How do you typically go about whether it's building a new project or managing a project? What do you find to be most effective to communicate with the business, to prioritize, to do the things you need to do in the projects you're managing? What does that all look like for you?
I think it's a good question. I think that the businesses that do this well is team oriented and bringing in all the processes and all the businesses that whatever they want to do for that year, let's say, focus on the right project and the right processes really. And so you're grabbing the right people and you're saying what needs to happen when, whether it's time, whether it's security related or money, right? Like, what is the cost of this project? So that has to be looked at. I enjoy working with the PMOs of the world, right? The project management office, and just working with pulling in all the things that we need in order to make the right decision when to do the project and grabbing the right people to execute it.
So you started bringing in people into that, and I think that's so critical. I think when I first started my career, I was very much a process guy, right? I was like a technical process guy. I got degrees in chemistry and finance. It was like, I'm gonna solve the world's problems with process, until I started trying to solve problems, and I found out very quickly that if we don't align people, if we don't get people all working together, and we don't work with the right people in the right way, then none of the process stuff really matters, right? The technology, the infrastructure, those things become a challenge if people don't buy into it, and if people don't use it, and if we don't coordinate resources in the right way. So what are some of the challenges as you're working with business leaders and PMO folks, and as you're working with different people? How do you navigate that? What are some of the challenges you run into in regards to, IT infrastructure and that type of stuff?
Yeah, I would say the challenge, right, is change, right? So when you think about IT and technology, change is rapidly happening. And if you're not on board, you're gonna get either swept away or whatever, Change, some people don't like it that at all. And that's even inside the IT teams, right? So I think as a leader, we have to embrace that and change, and we have to embrace the flexibility. And if I am the leader, like using that change and I'm excited about whatever the project is or whatever the business outcome needs to happen, then they're going to gain that process or change, and they're going to maybe be more on board than they wouldn't be otherwise. So I think change, is a big one.
Absolutely. I saw a meme several years ago. It said something like, "How many of you want to improve?" And like everybody raised their hand, right? And how many of you want to change? And it just looked like you and I just sitting here. It's like change management is really, really hard, but it's required. Like it is important. It, by definition, it's impossible to improve if you don't change. And yet a lot of people will sit around and talk about, oh, we need to improve this, and that's a mess, and that's broken, and that's right. We can look at things and talk about what needs to improve. But when we ask that question, how many of you want to change to enable that improvement to make it work? Very few people want to raise their hands. And so how do you, what have you, you've had a number of years. We were talking about 5 1/4 inch floppy disks earlier. So you've been around the block a few times. How do you deal with folks and help them go through that change? How do you help them navigate that to move towards where improvements can actually take place?
Well, I think that getting to know the actual person, right? Because I think that's the critical piece. Like, what makes them tick? What makes them not want to change? Or, trying to figure out what they want to do in life personally or in their career. I really enjoy getting to know the people. And so if I can know the person, then I can get excited and hopefully see what they're excited about and grab that and bridge those two gaps. And hopefully pull them along with us. And I'm not really pulling because they really run with me, right?
Absolutely. I think that's in the world of technology that we live in, with social media and with all of the just craziness around us of information flowing at us and all these things, building relationships is really seems to be critical. And this is something I often talk about, is the intersection of people and process. That if you hire on great people, but you have bad process, bad systems, bad technologies, you're gonna burn them out. You're gonna frustrate them. So great people with bad processes get frustrated. The corollary to that is that great processes without people is wasted. Sometimes we might build something that nobody uses, and it just gets wasted. So I love what you shared earlier about working with the business and sort of linking these two things together, that you want to work on projects that impact the business, have an impact on people, have an impact on the business, and simultaneously end up in a good technical process or result that enable them to do that. So what are some of the other challenges that you've faced in your career with companies? So you got change management, you've got these, technology is evolving rapidly. What are some of the other big challenges you faced?
I think for just IT, right? Processes. You talk about that a lot. Like, so processes for IT, if you get a really good guy, girl, right? They're all working really, really hard, but they don't write anything down, right? There's no documentation. There's no process of how to do whatever. And they leave. And then now what, right? So we've got this custom application and we've got this custom whatever. And now you're scratching your head like, now what? Because we don't have any good processes. That's the challenge, right? So you go to another company and you got to figure out all that. And a lot of time and money is wasted because the processes weren't in place.
Yeah,
So
I think that's a great insight, and I think it's one of the things that I've really started talking about and looking at is the handoffs between people, between humans. The community, it involves communication, but it involves documentation. It involves, right, the handoffs between departments, the handoffs between a person who's working on a project, handing it off to a team who needs to go execute it. Those handoffs get dropped so often in business, and it's fascinating for me to observe that sometimes people are like, well, the process is the process, like just go do it. And sometimes even simple processes can become really complex because of the dynamics of people and resignations and retirements and all those things. So what are some best practices that you try to put in place, or as you think about the documentation and the handoffs between people who do something and the expectations of how am I going to train other people and stuff like that? Are there any best practices you've got sort of tips on?
Yeah, so I use your tools, right? So as IT guys, we're only good as our tools, right? So use the tools you have for resolving one, the issue, and then go back to that issue. And I like to look at why that happened. How often has it happened? How often has it happened on a Wednesday morning, right? So like all those things, look into your knowledge base tools, right? Document what happened, and do it do it sooner than later, because us humans, we forget, right? Even if we write it down, it's like, what was I really meaning when I wrote that down? So I think just some of those simple things, but like us IT, we're always rushing. We're always rushing to the next fire. So it's like, slow down, take a deep breath, you know, and try to finish the one task before going on to the next task. Yeah. Is a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all big challenges. And I think everybody, right, we go and fight the next fire instead of doing a little bit of postmortem assessment of what could we have done better and how, what are we going to learn from it? It's one of my organization's core values is that we fail. We sometimes we don't do everything that we hoped we would do. And sometimes it doesn't succeed the way we hoped it would succeed. We fail, we acknowledge it, we learn from it, and then we adapt. And I think it's so critical, whether it's in IT or manufacturing or construction or whatever somebody might be in, to sort of think about that and look back at what can we learn from past mistakes and how do we address that?
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about data there. So you talked about sort of the frequency of problems and the size of problems and things like that. How big of a role do you see sort of that data and monitoring of those types of things happening? You know, how big of a role do you see that playing in the future of IT?
Yeah, the golden data or the true source of data, right? That is so hard. I think every single company I work for has always had a problem with that, right? And they're always trying to tackle that. The good companies out there acknowledge it and they figure out, okay, we need one true source of data, whether it's for people data, manufacturing data, hospital data, whatever it is. I think we have to figure out that really quickly, because if you report on data, if you give the business the wrong data, you could make a decision wrongly, right?
Yeah.
So I think data, it needs to be secured, right? And so that in 2024 is a huge thing right now. The true source, has it been compromised? Things like that. So just making sure you know where the data is, making sure you have a process to go find that data. Do you have access to the right data? Do you have enough access? Are you being limited? All those things come into play. It's a lot of data out there and it's growing. Yeah. It's not going to stop.
And look, data is, I've heard recently that, like artificially generated data, like, you know, AI machine learning type data is becoming more like there's more of that being generated than data by humans, right? By far. When you look at all the analytics and the things that are happening in generative AI, like there's so much data and content being created that's been automated. And so as humans, we're starting to try to rely on that data a lot. And so I think that's some really great points about your having a true source, having data integrity, having data security, those types of things. So any other thoughts as you look out at the future of infrastructure technology, any other thoughts on what people should be expecting in the next 3 to 5 years and what that looks like?
Yeah, I think that's a fun topic to talk about, what things could happen. I think a lot of 5G for sure, the 6Gs, right? There's going to be a lot of new cabling types. There's going to be a lot of new batteries that are going to be used. A lot of the physical hardware that we have today will be virtualized and either in the cloud or somebody else's data center. Those kind of things are going to start to happen already. It's just a lot of change, a lot of data that's coming from ChatGPTs of the world. And we need the high-end GPUs, right? So those high-end GPUs have to be manufactured. So there's a lot of those type businesses are making and pumping out those chips and things like that. So It's just going to be faster and better over the course of the next few years.
Continual change. That goes right back to the change management we talked about earlier. So, well, awesome. How do people get a hold of you, Brian? How do they find you if they're interested in learning more about some of the things that that we chatted about today?
Sure. Yeah. So LinkedIn, you can just search me, Brian Hale, infrastructure. You should be able to find me. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. This has been awesome having you on, Brian, on Optics in Action, where we spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. I love the things that you've shared with us today about technology, people, processes, and how all these things have to sort of fit together from a technology perspective. So thanks. Thanks again for being on this episode.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.